You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
WannaCry ransomware became a pandemic over the weekend. Johannes Ulrich joins us to help sort it out. A temporary lull is feared likely to be more temporary than most would like. Baiju espionage malware is spreading through GeoCities. Another APT, APT-32, is also devoted to espionage, apparently in alignment with the government of Vietnam. Bin Laden's son is working to inspire lone wolves. National authorities seek to draw influence operations lessons from the concluded French presidential campaign. Armies make tactical use of cyber operations. And there's a dragnet out for tech support scammers. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, May 15th, 2017. Today's leading news is the developing story of WannaCry ransomware, which broke out in the wild on Friday and has since become effectively a ransomware pandemic. WannaCry ransomware hit hard late last week, and enterprises worldwide are bracing for further waves of infestation. The hitherto obscure strain of ransomware propagated in worm-like fashion against systems running older Microsoft software. It exploited the vulnerability the shadow brokers leaked last month as the weaponized Eternal Blue tool. Affected systems are running old and in some cases pirated versions of Microsoft operating systems, specifically Windows XP, Windows 8, and Server 2003. The rate of infection has been very high, temporarily slowed by discovery and activation of a kill switch, but most observers expect renewed attack as the unknown controllers upgrade the malware. News of the incipient pandemic broke early Friday, with initial reports mentioning infestations in a handful of countries. Early interest focused on the UK's National Health Service, several of whose facilities suffered disruptions serious enough to send staff home, reroute ambulances, and impede patient care. Another early infestation hit Spanish telco Telefonica, which took hasty and extensive emergency measures to contain WannaCry's spread. The number of affected countries rose steadily over the weekend until it reached presently reported levels of more than 150, which is close enough to everywhere as to make no difference. President Trump has directed Homeland Security Advisor Thomas Bossert to coordinate the U.S. government's response and organize the search for the responsible threat actors. In the United Kingdom, the National Cybersecurity Center is taking the lead, and late yesterday the center warned that the threat was by no means over. Microsoft took the unusual step of issuing patches for software that's beyond end of life and are no longer supported. The fixes covered Windows XP, Windows 8, and Server 2003. Microsoft characterized the decision as one taken with a view to protecting their customers' ecosystem. We'll have more on WannaCry and its implications later in the show when we speak with the SANS Institute's Johannes Ulrich. In the meantime, there is some news out of cyberspace that's unrelated to the ransomware pandemic. Cylance reported Friday the discovery of Baiju malware, which abuses a popular Japanese web hosting service and spreads through phishing. The fish bait is a subject line drawing upon sympathy for and interest in victims of a 2016 North Korean flood. Cylance researchers say Baiju installs an espionage toolkit using the Typhoon downloader through some backdoors Cylance calls Lion Rock. Baiju is evasive, and Cylance warns that appropriating the GeoCities' free, high-bandwidth civilian infrastructure also helps Baiju hide in plain sight and signals a troubling new trend in attack techniques that is almost surely not restricted to Yahoo's GeoCities. The campaign appears to originate in East Asia, but beyond that, researchers are being circumspect concerning attribution. FireEye has warned of another ongoing cyber espionage effort, the activities of APT-32, also known as Ocean Lotus. APT-32 appears to be aligned with Vietnam's government, and its targets include Vietnamese dissidents, foreign governments, and foreign corporations. The late Osama bin Laden's son, Hamza bin Laden, is competing with ISIS for jihadist mindshare. The younger bin Laden has taken to the internet to advise those seeking martyrdom on how best to achieve it. The Qaeda leader's goal is inspiration. He's howling at the lone wolves out there online. Ukrainian soldiers are receiving hate message via SMS from an unknown but probably Russia-aligned actor exploiting vulnerabilities of 2G networks to man-in-the-middle attacks. As the hybrid war in eastern Ukraine continues, other nations' militaries are upgrading their own capabilities. Brazil's army is standing up its Cyber Defense Command, and the Israeli Defense Forces expect their Computer Service Directorate to be entrusted with both defense and counterattack. In the United States, the Army sends a clear signal that it's serious about the tactical use of cyberspace. It's integrating cyber operations into its premier training establishment, the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California. Finally, in some good news on cyber law enforcement, there's a global dragnet underway against tech support scammers. Seven men in Florida have already been scooped up, and more arrests are expected soon. Joining me once again is Johannes Ulrich from SANS and also the Internet Storm Center Stormcast podcast. So as we record this, it's mid-morning Monday. In terms of the WannaCry ransomware, where do things stand?
Well, it really all started on Friday with this massive spread of this WannaCry worm. At this point, according to some of the online counters that track this particular infection, there are about 180,000 infected systems worldwide. Pretty much any country is infected at this point. What really helped us over the weekend was that the malware actually checks if a very particular domain is reachable, and it doesn't run if it's reachable. And luckily, that domain got registered relatively quickly towards the end of Friday and somewhat slowed down the spread of this particular malware.
So are we seeing new variants hit the net this morning that can work around that limitation?
Yeah, there were a couple of variants that were reported over the weekend that, for example, made subtle changes to that domain name, but they didn't really spread as far as fast as the original.
And we've seen reports from a variety of antivirus vendors saying that that they're able to protect you against this.
Yeah, antivirus will help in hindsight once they have a signature for it, of course. Now, some antivirus vendors, they do have products that, for example, look for behavior like malware that encrypts files, like in this case. But really what we're talking about here are the vulnerable systems. These are systems that really escape sort of any basic cyber hygiene, that haven't been patched for whatever reason, that may even be running old versions of Windows. So it's very possible that they don't run any up-to-date antivirus either.
Yeah, we saw certainly over the weekend Microsoft being critical of the government for, as they describe, you know, stockpiling these sort of vulnerabilities. Any thoughts on Microsoft coming at NSA?
Yeah, I can see where Microsoft is upset because they're really stuck with having to deal with the fallout here. They even released a patch for Windows XP on Friday, which was highly unusual given that Windows XP is now out of support for a couple of years. It would have been nice if the government would have shared these particular vulnerabilities ahead of time. Now, there is some indication that some sharing actually happened there because the patch was actually released in March, about a month before this particular vulnerability was made public by the Shadow Broker group. So it's very possible that the government actually did share details about the vulnerability before or after it became evident that the vulnerability would have been made public.
And I've heard other people make the argument that is it really the government's responsibility for Microsoft's quality assurance of their products?
That's certainly true too, but in general, it is considered sort of a responsibility of a security researcher to notify the vendor of vulnerabilities. Now, this is really a tricky issue here, given that security researchers also put in quite a bit of work to find these vulnerabilities. So in some ways, they should be rewarded for it. Bug bounty programs, of course, are a way to deal with this with security researchers. Not clear how this would work with government entities.
And in terms of the bigger picture with the crypto wars, people are using this as ammunition, saying that, you know, the government says, trust us with your keys. This may be an example of ammunition to say, well, the government can't protect these 0 days. Why should we trust them with back doors to encryption?
And that's exactly a good argument here, you know, that these encryption backdoors will be leaked just like these exploits have been leaked in the past. So there's really no guarantee that the government is any good in sharing these kind of backdoor secrets.
We heard this morning former Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff was on NPR, and he made an interesting point that countries like China, who are being particularly hard hit, they may be getting hit due to the amount of pirated software that they run.
That's probably true in some ways that they're not as good in patching software because they're somewhat afraid that the software will be turned off if they're patching because it is pirated. But these are also countries that often run just out-of-date systems, out-of-date hardware, because they can't afford the latest, greatest hardware that runs Windows 7 and Windows 10. So that's also why you see more out-of-date systems and unpatched systems in these countries.
And back to WannaCry, are people paying and are they getting their files back?
There are some people paying. I haven't checked today yet, but over the weekend there were about 100 people that paid according to the Bitcoin blockchain. It's not clear if they're getting their files back. Now, the process is rather manual and convoluted. You first have to pay, and then again, it's not really clear how much you have to pay because the exchange rate between US dollar and Bitcoin keeps changing. Then you have to actually contact the people behind this particular malware and have to tell them that you paid, and they will sort of manually issue you a recovery key. They post some business hours that are actually fairly limited during which you should contact them. Given all the pressure from law enforcement and in this case, it's very possible that they'll actually disappear given that they didn't really make an awful lot of money in this case.
Yeah, perhaps they bit off a little more than they could chew.
Right.
Johannes Ulrich, thanks as always for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.